The following programming is sponsored by Bruce Grossinger. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
The Sports Doctor is on the air. Dr. Bruce Grossinger with Rover Sports Tuesday evenings at 7:30 on WWDB. Dr. Bruce and the Rover crew blend sports and pop culture to keep you entertained and thinking. Brought to you by the Philadelphia Regenerative Medicine and Stem Cell Institute, where Dr. Grossinger and his team help athletes and chronic pain sufferers heal faster and stronger, often without the need for drugs or surgery. Visit online at phillysportsdoc.com and tune in to WWDB Tuesday nights at 7:30 for Rover Sports.
Welcome into Rover Sports. We're here on a fine Tuesday night, and there's a lot to talk about. We're here with Spencer G, Josh Dacey, and our national columnist, Mr. Charlie Bowles, Colin Newby, Matt Vito. We are on 97.5 HD2 for all the listeners. We are going to be streaming this on YouTube. I've taken over a new YouTube station. It's called Slaughterhouse Sports, and it's owned by a dictator named Dr. Bruce. It has been acquired from a young man who had built up a formidable empire in Spencer G, and it was actually, much like my Facebook page was hacked and stolen from me, I have want to make an announcement to Spencer. I've taken over that. Also,
no, I agree
Bruce Grossinger Facebook is no longer. It is now somewhere in the Brazilian Alps, which there don't exist in Brazilian Alps. But we want to talk about, of course, those Philadelphia Eagles. 5 wins in a row. 7-2. And, Josh, is Sirianni vindicated? 7-2. Is it because of him, despite him? We obviously saw the Eagles limped in again. I mean, the Eagles played a team that basically had no limbs. They were a limbless team without Dak Prescott. They looked horrible with Cooper Rush. And it's hard to really gauge a team when you play the Cowboys. I've actually never seen the Cowboys look so bad.
Doc, you know, the last 2 weeks, they played Jacksonville at home. I was fortunate to go to the game with you. And made a lot of poor decisions, but still ended up winning that game. Jacksonville's awful. The Cowboys are awful. Truth be told, I'm not sure how good this team is. I think their defense is very good. I love Zach Bond. He's probably the team leader in tackles. They've got the first-round pick, Quinyon Mitchell, and Cooper DeJean is playing very well, and they picked up two great corners. I think they're a great defensive team. Offensively, I think they can go up against anybody. So I think this they've always sudden turned it around, get it going.
Spets, obviously, in a bit, you're going to give us a review on the Washington Redskins. You know, a very classic team with a very storied history, and we honor the Redskins. But you watched the game. You watched the game with Ray Dininger and Seth Joyner. And I think for a guy like you, a young man, to be able to watch a game in a green room with those guys, tell us what that was like, the ambiance to watch a game with Ray and Seth. And also, tell us about your view of the game itself.
Yeah, well, I just have a ton of respect for Ray Dininger. I mean, he really put in a ton of time and devotion to the National Football League and specifically the Philadelphia Eagles. And he's very punctual, you know, and I can learn a lot from him about being on time, about taking notes, about being respectful to all of his co-hosts. And him and Michael Barkan, like, I really caught him during the late 2000s, I would say. But you even grew up with Ray Dininger. Like, his career extended longer than I've been alive. Like, I'm alive since 94, and he was there in the 80s, and he's just... 60. He's a brilliant, brilliant person. And Josh, he was retired, but he had every right to like put his feet on the desk and just enjoy the game. He was taking notes with a yellow highlighter. And the guy is just an exceptional worker, but he's just such a kind, he was a very kind person. I knew he was brilliant at his job, but sometimes people that are brilliant at their job are not gregarious with their time. I'm not sure gregarious is a word, but he took a picture with me and you, Bruce, and he couldn't have been more humble. And for someone that's maybe someone who deserves the accolades of being a Hall of Fame reporter or somebody who's probably considered for Canton, Ohio.
He is a Hall of Fame reporter.
The guy couldn't have been like, he just was like a regular guy. And that I really appreciated that.
Charlie, this is a 7-2 team. They are right there with the Detroit Lions. How do you shake up the there's a slight echo here. Echo, echo, echo. Just kidding. That was just me. But, Charlie, how do you size up this Philadelphia Eagles team?
Well, I think, well, their defense allowing, what, under 13 points a game in the last four. Offense averaging over 31. Most importantly, looking forward, I think this Eagle game Thursday is a must win when you look at the next 4 weeks. Washington's slate includes the Cowboys, the Titans, and the Saints after this, where Philly plays the Rams, the Ravens. They do get the Panthers, but then the Steelers. So I look at this game being, you know, much more important to Philly than Washington. Again, something happened at the break, which it seemed like either Hurts got on the same page with Sirianni, or Hurts basically doesn't care what Sirianni thinks anymore. But it seems like Hurts has taken over the team. He's taken the leadership role that, you know, he probably didn't show in the first couple weeks. And I think that the other players are responding.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts has played really well. He had two turnovers in the last game against the Cowboys, but they were early on. They didn't seem to affect him. What I see is that he finally looks completely healthy. He has the ability to run. He has the speed. And he also seems like he's stepping into his passes, and he's got his weapons. Obviously, Saquon Barkley is such a game changer. You know, he could fall forward and run for 5 yards. And I also understand that Barkley, just as you experienced in college at Penn State, he'll do everything for that team. You know, he's a very humble guy, and I think he is a game changer. And sometimes, if I look at the 76ers team in 83, I looked at the acquisition of Moses Malone, and he got him over the top. I look at Barkley as just a bedrock kind of a player, and with him and the offense, and certainly too with AJ and Devontae, and now Goddard back, all of a sudden the team is all healthy, and I don't believe Jordan Mailata is actually off of IR. They opened up the 21-day window. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but essentially it means that he's eligible to play against the Washington Redskins / Commanders. So this team all of a sudden is fully healthy, and I don't mind just rolling into it. What's your feeling about the upcoming game in 2 days?
You know, Doc, I think they got a great opportunity. I think Washington, first of all, commendable of the Dan Quinn and the culture he's already created down there. As the head coach, you know, they actually had players at the trade deadline that wanted to play for Washington, which was unheard of during the Dan Snyder era. Jaden Daniels, I think, maybe is clearly the NFL Rookie of the Year from the offensive standpoint. He might be the NFL MVP candidate. He's played great. He's very confident down there. He's connecting with Terry McLaurin. The defense has played solid for Washington. They have a really good chance right now.
Yeah, I would say, Spence, you know, I've always been an Eagles fan, you know, for decades, my whole life.
Yeah.
I've always rooted against the Redskins, but I have to admit, individually, I love Dan Quinn. I mean, again, much, much a great danger. Dan Quinn was great when we met him in person. He had all the time in the world. And Daniels is a very exciting young player. So this team is almost is unrecognizable. The Redskins always were just a team of losers. They were always, they had a lot of stars all the time. But, I mean, we have to go back to Joe Gibbs before they were really in their prime. But they've been horrible for so long. To see this team just change, and the good thing about Josh Harris, obviously the owner of the Sixers, I think we could say he's a hands-off owner. And that's certainly, when we look at a guy like Jerry Jones and all the bad acquisitions of the Cowboys, epitomized by the horrific game we saw last week.
Yeah.
The team is definitely a formidable opponent, and there's a lot to dig into in advance of this Thursday night football game.
Well, I know, and it's surprising. Well, Dan Quinn, you know, he was with Atlanta, and they almost won the Super Bowl with Dan Quinn there. And then ever since Kyle Shanahan left, Dan Quinn really struggled to ever get back into real contention. Like, he made the playoffs, I think, one or twice more. Then he went to the Cowboys. He was exceptional. You know, he turned that defense into a juggernaut. You saw Micah Parsons, and now that Dan Quinn has left, you've seen just how depleted the Cowboys are on defense. And Dan Quinn was just tremendous with Dallas, and he really deserved the second opportunity, and he's making the most of it. Cliff Kingsbury, I did not expect Kingsbury to go into the NFL and perform this well. I mean, when he was with Arizona, those offenses would crater in the second halves of seasons. And he wasn't even a college football head coach. He was an offensive coordinator with Lincoln Riley last year. So I'm surprised. I thought Cliff is this air raid guy. I thought his run scheme is unimaginative. I thought he was soft on the lines of scrimmages. I thought he was a pass first guy. But their team's playing physical football. And that is what is so fun to see. But Bruce, here's the thing I'm going to say about the Redskins, okay? I have some concerns about them. One, they could have lost to the Bears very easily if not for that miracle play. The other thing I want to say is I don't know if they're mature enough to win a game like this on the road, Bruce, because, you know, and Charlie and everybody else was watching against the Steelers. They had the Steelers dead to rights, up by 10. They gave up the lead. And then, Josh, did you see this? The Steelers were going to punt the ball back to the Redskins. They had a guy jump off sides, which is a clear lack of discipline on the defensive line. So I'm not sure that this team has the mental fortitude to go into Philly and win, because the Eagles, with Sirianni and with Jalen Hurts, they've made the playoffs a lot. I'm not sure the Redskins are ready to take this game on Thursday night.
So what I would say is the Eagles you know, I think they're winning. I would call Sirianni a neutral influence. I haven't come over to the side where I think he's a really good coach or even a good head coach. I would say he's an average head coach. And if his whole role is to be a CEO and just to organize people, and you know about business and corporations, CEO is a guy to manage divisions and to delegate and to allow Fangio and Kellen Moore to do their thing and to have some kind of leadership role or organizational role, then perhaps we could call him a good coach. But whenever it seems like there is a close game, not last week, when Sirianni has a chance to make decisions, he'll rely on analytics too much and literally go on every fourth down, and it's almost silly, or also make some what I call boneheaded decisions. So I don't think we could be too euphoric about that win, Bruce, against the Cowboys.
But Bruce, look at the Giants. They've been bad for a decade. Look at the New York Jets. Those teams can't get out of their own way. You got to admit that Howie Roseman and Lurie, you have to admit that this experiment is working. You have to admit that this team is a successful NFL franchise, that they're always competing year after year, and that they don't seem to dip. I mean, Saquon Barkley is the same player who was with the Giants, and now that you put an Eagles uniform on him, he's winning. I mean, we look at Barry Sanders. I guess Barry Sanders is a great back, too. But Saquon Barkley, Josh, he did not win in his career until this year.
Well, Spencer, he didn't have an offensive line. It was interesting. I was listening to an interview with Saquon, and Saquon said he's been on a year-to-year contract for the last 3 years. And one thing that he was constantly looking for from the Giants is a long-term deal. And they never seemed to want to give him his money. And when he finally got the guaranteed money, he felt like he could play reckless again. He could play football the way he's used to playing. And, Doc, as you and I saw live, when he hurdled the guy backwards, when he hurdled the Jacksonville Jaguar defender.
That was like one of the most amazing plays I've ever seen. And you and I were right there. Yeah. It was right in front of us.
Yes. We were all turning like, what did we just see? It was unbelievable. I think he has the offensive line. He's got a quarterback that he trusts that he can get through. He's also got other stars in A.J. Brown, Dallas Goedert, Devontae Smith. These guys and got other guys on the defensive side that are stepping up and making plays. I think he's at a team that he actually believes in and trusts, that he doesn't have to carry the whole team on their shoulders.
Charlie, you watch all the Washington games. Could you give us a sense for your view of the team? Could you analyze this Washington team? We watch a little bit of it, but I'm sure you watch more. We find ourselves watching a lot of Eagles. Is this team as good as they appear to be, according to the record?
Well, both of their schedules, if you look at them, are relatively weak. Neither team has really been tested this year. So I don't think you're going to, like, you know, I think they both, look, Washington's schedule for the next 3 weeks seems relatively easy as well. So, I mean, the Eagles, if you go back on their last 6-8 games, I mean, who's the best team they played? Tampa Bay? You know, I think that they're about to be tested, you know, over the next couple weeks. So, you know, Washington, again, overachieving on defense. That Jonathan Allen went out early for the year, best defensive lineman, along with Daron Bain. You know, the offense, again, you have guys stepping up out of nowhere. aside from McLaurin as well. Robinson, until he got hurt, was having a career year. You know, all of a sudden Eckler steps in and takes over. You know, again, I think, though, also Washington hasn't really been tested either. Their schedules are very, very similar. So I think at the end of the year, you know, you're going to separate. One of these teams is going to separate from each other, and it's going to happen, unfortunately, the latter half of the year.
Spence, what do you think of tell us about the Washington defense. Get into the personnel, if you would.
Yeah, I mean, they have the guy from Minnesota, St. Juste, who's a corner there. They also acquired, believe, Marshawn Lattimore from the Saints. Believe that they made that acquisition. So, you know, just looking at their roster, I really think that Dan Quinn is putting together, like, a really good defensive year. I don't think they have the talent of the Philadelphia Eagles on the defensive side of the ball. I think they're an offensive-led team, and they're an opportunistic defense. That's how I would categorize them. You know, if I'm going to just start to look at these players here. We got Jeremy Chinn, who's a free agent, played pretty well, I believe, with Carolina. Bobby Wagner, a very old linebacker, is, you know, on this team now.
The running back's playing pretty well.
So defensively, looks like Daron Payne, Dante Fowler. This year, I don't think that this is the final version of an Adam Peters. Like, I don't know if they have the defense to make a deep playoff run. Now, I think the Achilles heel is the secondary, and I think that this team, you can move the ball on them. Their offense is the strength of the team. It's prolific. Terry McLaurin's great. Deami Brown's made so many plays. Josh, you talk about Brian Robinson, and it's pretty amazing about Brian Robinson. Not only, you know, did he survive a gunshot wound, but at Alabama, Charlie can attest to this. He's one of the Alabama's had incredible backs. He was just Charlie, right? He was just like a guy at Alabama, right? Like, you didn't even think he was exceptional. Is that true? Like, when you look at all the Alabama players?
Well, honestly, he was a more recruited version NFL-wise than Gibbs, actually. Gibbs was the guy who transferred from Georgia Tech who... Oh, and to give Dan Campbell a lot of credit because he was not predicted to go as high. And the only reason he went high is because it's only really him and Robinson in that entire draft. I would say Robinson was more highly coveted by NFL teams than Gibbs, actually. Again, Robinson was always solid. He wasn't the Derrick Henry type, the Mark Ingram type, the Heisman Trophy. Yeah, you're right. He was more of a workman.
Yeah, a solid workman. And then also, Bruce, you've heard of this name, a veteran. Guy who's in his, you know, later in his career, but a guy who's versatile out of the backfield, Austin Eckler, who played a lot of years with the San Diego Chargers, LA Chargers.
Yeah, Eckler, I always thought he was a good back. And,
yeah.
And I think Dan Quinn, you know, he is a defensive coach, but yet, like you said, Cliff Kingsbury, I think he'd learn. You know, some coaches learn. You know, like, for instance, yeah. I think Chip Kelly, when he was with the Eagles, he just made all the mistakes, and now he's he's settling it. He's a guy who has nine lives.
He's with UCLA, and now he's Ohio State.
I think he's made a transition from the college, the weave. We love Mike Leach, but he's had to adapt. And when I watch the Redskins play, I don't see Mike Leach offense there. Do you?
No, and Bruce, what I was going to ask, I mean, I think that their run game's, like, pretty exciting. I think Cliff's the nicest guy, like, again, Cliff Kingsbury. I like Cliff, again. I met Cliff Kingsbury, and then you look at Arizona was kind of like a mess, you know. They it was kind of just a mess out there. It was a tough situation. They have Luke McCaffrey, the brother of Christian McCaffrey, who used to be a quarterback and then played at Rice. And Zacchaeus fumbled last week. You saw that. The guy who used to play on the Eagles fumbled a punt return. They got to get a punt returner.
What happened? Hey, listen, you know, just because you fumble.
He fumbled twice last week.
Well, maybe,
man,
that's not excusable.
And then also, Charlie saw the game. The Steelers could have completed that fake punt, but that was such a risky play in that game. But that was a ton of fun, the game last week, the Redskins-Steelers. And this game, the Eagles, I mean, if they win this game, Bruce, I just feel that this team, don't you feel that the Eagles' offense is finally back? It's not looking like last year's team this year, the Eagles?
Well, like any team, the Eagles are very healthy right now. And they've got some really tough games, as you know, in the schedule. Charlie alluded to it.
Yeah.
Going away to Los Angeles, again, you saw them last night. Again, that team's an up-and-down team.
Very.
But when you go to Los Angeles, you just don't know what you're going to get. Playing the Steelers is going to be a real tough game. Panthers, everybody gets well against the Panthers.
Except the Giants.
I think the game at Baltimore is the tough, obviously the toughest game.
Away at Baltimore, that would be a statement game.
You have beaten the Rams many times.
That's a game. Man. I mean, I just think Baltimore usually also, they tend to have Lamar Jackson. I don't remember the Eagles ever beating him, and it's not like they've played that many times.
That offense is just ridiculous.
But Lamar, and I don't see the Eagles really stopping Derrick Henry
lost,
at all.
The Rams lost last night, and then the Eagles are going to have a ton of fans out in L.A. The Rams have no fans, man.
We are right up against the break. Station ID, we are Rover Sports.
WWDB 860 AM Philadelphia and WPEN HD2 Burlington, Philadelphia.
It takes them all.
Welcome back into Rover Sports. We have Charlie Bowles here, and I must tell you, that Alabama team, I wasn't expecting that. They went to LSU, and they looked like second coming. I was looking where Nick Saban was. Milroe reminded me of Lamar Jackson. That team was firing on all cylinders. Their defense looked like a professional defense. Charlie, you must have been pretty proud. Yeah. Tell us about your Crimson Tide.
I mean, that's typically what a Saban team does at the end of the year. They come out showing, playing their best ball. I didn't know if DeBoer had it in him or not, because a lot of the pundits, and rightly so, were all over LSU at home. Kelly 17-0 against night games and had success against Alabama at home already. And I'll tell you what, not since the first half against Georgia were they able to look as good as they have. And Milroe, at his size and his speed, I mean, it is fascinating to see where he gets drafted next year, because I got to believe, no matter what, he's one of the top two quarterbacks taken. He's got to improve, obviously, his again, believe it or not, the NFL throws, the 17-yard outs, you know, where you're throwing the ball 40 yards across the field. There's where he's got to improve. He's deadly accurate on the long ball, and also he's probably as fast as Lamar Jackson when he gets to top speed. But, yeah, the defense, again, especially. I mean, the defense showed up. The D-backs who have been just getting gutted and gashed. It's going to be interesting because they don't have a real tough road. They got Mercer, Oklahoma, and Auburn. So they went out. They played themselves into the dance now. It's in their hands. And then right now, I think if they play like they did last week, they have a good chance as anyone to win the whole thing.
You're right. I mean, there isn't one team that stands out. Obviously, Texas has had, they're a very good team, very solid team. Oregon has not, they've played a few tough games, but they've had a fairly easy schedule. Alabama, they're not, it doesn't look like they're going to get a third one, and they're going to get in. Anybody in their right mind would have to say they're in the top 12, right, Spence?
I agree. And I don't believe, Bruce, that the Crimson Tide should be punished if they play an extra game in Atlanta in the SEC Championship. Like, they could theoretically lose to, like, Texas in the SEC Championship. But why should the committee punish Alabama for playing an extra game if they make it to the SEC Championship? That's a very good accomplishment.
Well, what's interesting? There's not a lot of drama with 12 teams coming in, but I think if you pick the best teams, if they make it to the SEC Championship, and that's the cream of the crop. If they, I mean, and again, that'll be, I like a little controversy. I don't know how you could keep Alabama, unless they just completely fall over, and knowing the way Alabama's playing, they're probably going to win that game. But that would be an exception to the rule that I could see Alabama getting in with three losses. What do you think, Josh?
It's a no-brainer, just like it was last year in the 4-team playoff. It was absolutely – Florida State never belonged in that. And when they picked Alabama, it was an easy, easy pick. So I think Alabama's deserved every right to get there.
I do. Charlie, I think – so Alabama could lose that third game, but I guess I'm sure you agree with the consensus that they're not a three-loss team. When you go to the SEC Championship, that's an exceptional situation.
That doesn't count.
Well, consider the tiebreakers that are going to happen. If Georgia beats Tennessee this weekend and Texas beats Texas A&M, Texas will get in, but then you're going to have, I don't know what the tiebreaker is, you may have as many as six teams with two losses at the end of the year. I don't know how that tiebreaker is all going to work out, but it's going to be a mess.
Charlie, it was interesting. One of the teams that seems to be surprising right now in the Big 12 is Colorado. I'm not much of a Deion fan. I can't really stand how his players are, reacting. But That's a surprise pick. I would love to see them and Boise State in terms of just interest because of the running back playing as well as he has. He's one of the best running backs in the country that really no one's talking
about.
Yeah,
the Boise State guy is amazing. He's averaging like 200 yards per game. We have a guy named Devin Foundry, who's a friend of ours, who is a he's actually a cameraman for NFL Films. He went to Boise State, and he actually went with Kellen Moore, like, so he knows Kellen. And he's such a – the guy, Jante, how do you say his last name?
Ashton Gentry.
Gentry. If you watch that guy play, he is just incredible. And also, if you look at your boy from ASU.
Cam Scatabu.
Cam Scatabu is another one. So there's a lot of these really exciting running backs this year.
Great running
backs. Auburn ASU, that's a surprise team. They were supposed to be – bottom of the barrel, and they are right in there. Give us a little preview. Give us a little ASU talk here. We don't hear that much of it.
We got Sam Levitt, Cam Scatabu, Kenny Dillingham's one of my favorite coaches. You know, if Josh Dace was coaching college football, I think he'd be like Kenny Dillingham. And it's just so much fun. I mean, they were picked dead last in the Big 12, and they're sitting here at like 7-2. And Bruce, you know, they have some decent wins on their season. You know, they've gotten some one-possession wins, UCF, Kansas. And the Big 12 is great because Kansas, you know, you still have a good quarterback in Jaden Daniels. It's very similar to Jalen Daniels. It's very similar to the Washington Redskins quarterback.
Almost the same name.
He's from California. And by the way, you know, Kansas, they're not even playing at a home stadium, but they beat Iowa State, who was undefeated. And then you have BYU, who is totally undefeated, who beat Utah because of a holding penalty that was crazy. And the athletic director basically said, I hate that we're in the Big 12 conference and these refs stole the game from us. And I want to go back to the Pac-12 because I hate this conference. It was a viral moment in Utah on Saturday
night.
When
you see Jake Retzlaff, who's related, I believe, to Pete Retzlaff, who's a Philadelphia, way before you were born, but I remember Pete Retzlaff was a great wide receiver, tight end for the Eagles. But the BYU team, there are just so many good teams.
And guess
what?
But if BYU is undefeated, they're going to get punished for the conference championship game if they lose. Like here's the thing, Charlie. I believe that the ACC and Big 12 is probably only getting one each. Wouldn't you say that? Like when we look at the
playoff? In Colorado's, look, say what you want about Utah, but they got to play them this week. They're a big favorite. Then 2 weeks they got Kansas. So that I think if Colorado's going to trip, it's going to be against Kansas. He's having an off year, but they could potentially beat anyone in that conference.
Well, I would love to see – well, there is a game. BYU is going to be at ASU. That's a great game.
It is funny because I know Charlie thinks that Deion might not love Deion, but he does have a future in Travis Hunter. And Travis Hunter, Charlie, you definitely know this. He played 170 snaps of football on Saturday. He plays both sides of the ball. It is great in this era of load management to see a guy like Hunter play, Josh.
Well, Spencer, they're saying Deion maybe to the Cowboys next year.
I agree. We're talking about load management. We're not talking about football. We're talking about basketball, right? Because there is no load management in football. These guys, these guys are cows and warriors. They just go out and they run them into the ground. That's what they do.
It was funny on our show, on our post-game show. I don't know if you saw that. But they were talking about, you know, and again, I'm pretty much against the Thursday night games and the overseas games. I think it's terrible for the players. And who was it? It was Mark Farzad asked me, if I was managing the Eagles, what would I do? You know, they have to fly back. They got home real late on Dallas, from Dallas, and then all they had really is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and they roll into it. And I'd say, you know what? I'm not a load management guy. But if I'm managing the team from a medical standpoint, I'm resting them. And they are doing, I think, the right thing. They're just doing two walkthroughs.
Sure.
So Mailata is only going to get two walkthroughs. They're not going to even really see him. But I would just have those guys in ice baths, resting, sleeping, because that's a huge game. And it's unfair to have him play on Thursday. I just don't like it.
Doc, but Mailata is the exception. He hasn't been played in weeks. Don't you think that's a disadvantage for him not getting reps?
I think it is a disadvantage, especially coming from, you know, a soft tissue injury, if you like, a hamstring pull. You'd like to see him, and I don't know what he's doing. They're very close to the vest, but I'm sure He's doing a lot of training, and he's replicating as much as he can. It's interesting that they knew when they put him on IR, and they knew that game four was last week, and they knew that they would have him ready, if necessary, for the Washington game. And he's such an important guy. And if you look at Fred Johnson, at times he hasn't been terrible, but he's also at times looked like a turnstile. Yeah. And Mailata, if he's able to play and if he's healthy, that basically you have your whole team healthy. And at this point in the season, that's one reason they are 7-2, because their whole team, Spencer, happens to be healthy. As
I was going to ask you, I mean, I guess it's rhetorical, but I think you'll enjoy answering this question. What do you think of the environment that it's going to be on Thursday at the link? And do you think the Eagles can play? Can they play a complete game at home? I'll ask you that question.
Well, I think it's exciting that Washington and the Eagles have always had a great rivalry over the years for decades. And I remember at least two Washington games, Redskins games, where the Redskins came here and they beat the Eagles with last-second field goals. So, I mean, and again, and I remember the Hogs and the Redskins. It's a storied franchise. And I personally like a good rivalry, you know. And obviously the Giants are way down. And the Cowboys have the worst year I can remember. But I'm excited to have a home game against that team. And Jalen Daniels is going to be a fun player. I think the fans will be out. It is a Thursday night game. They'll probably wear, I don't know what color uniforms. Usually wear solid uniforms on Thursday night.
Maybe,
I don't know,
maybe
Colin.
All black.
Do we know what they're wearing? Colin, I'm sure, will get it.
He'll get it.
It could be like all black or all white or something. They always wear these kind of novel uniforms for Thursday night
games.
We're
going to get to our picks, but Josh, did you hear what Micah Parsons said about Mike McCarthy?
I think it was out of line, to be honest with you. I think there's a level of professionalism that's almost lost anymore with today's athlete. And you can't – listen, I understand you're struggling, but he's been out. He's been hurt for the last 3 weeks. He hasn't helped this team win, so just be quiet. Go about your business.
You're right, and you can't blame, honestly, McCarthy isn't a good coach, but their team is just decimated.
Yeah.
And there's the personnel, and I blame Jerry Jones for putting together that personnel. And you pay C.D. Lamb and Dak Prescott all that money, it's going to be really hard to field a good defense. Their defense was horrible.
He's too nice. Jerry Jones is too nice. These players, you know, are able to goad him into these contracts.
Well, who knows? You know, it's tough to be. But I think without any further ado,
let's do it.
We've got our fearless picks.
All right, Doc. So obviously we're going to touch on the Thursday night game, the last game. We've been the Eagles in Washington. So we're going to kick it off with Baltimore, 7-3, traveling to Pittsburgh, a surprise 7-2 team. Pittsburgh's getting 3 points. Doctor.
Okay. I think this could be a really good game. This is probably the best game on the slate. I'm glad you led off with it. I feel that Pittsburgh at home, you know, the two are very similar teams. You know, if you look at them, I don't see Pittsburgh losing this game. And I think that Russell Wilson is really coming into his own. He seems healthy. I think it's going to be a close game. And I'm going to take the Steelers to this game. Spence?
Yeah, it's interesting. They can't flex out the Cowboys game for this game.
They should if they could.
Well, definitely. No, we'll talk about our records here in a second with Josh. But I'll make this actually my lock of the week. Like, I think Baltimore, I mean, and I say this as a guy who really likes the Steelers and Arthur Smith. I don't think they have the offense to keep up. And I'm worried. Like, I think that a Redskins game took a lot out of them. I'm going to take the Ravens at home.
I think Lamar Jackson's going to win the MVP. Him, Derrick Henry, Zay Flowers is having a great year. Mark Andrews is back to doing what he's doing. You know, credit to Russell Wilson. He stepped up lately, but I've got to be honest with you, I'm taking Baltimore.
Colin?
Pittsburgh's exceeded my expectations a little bit. I think it's a closer game. Pittsburgh covers here.
Charlie?
Of the Steelers, I think they've overachieved. I think the addition of Mike Williams actually is going to be a lot bigger than people think, but I just think that, again, this number short looks like it should be all over the Steelers, but I just think that Baltimore is too tough running the ball. I think it'll be low scoring, but I think which could bring in a Steeler cover backdoor, but I still think Baltimore wins and covers.
Okay, so the next game, Charlie's favorite celebrity, Travis Kelce, a big Pfizer guy, 9-0, another great game. Travel up to Buffalo. getting eaten 2.5. The Chiefs are 9-0. Buffalo's 8-2. Despite not having all their weapons, Buffalo still. Josh Allen's putting up a great year.
Perhaps I'm really tired of the Chiefs. I have to be honest. I've got Chiefs fatigue. They can't win every game. They're not the 72 Dolphins. This is the time I see Buffalo flexes its muscles. It means more to them. I'm taking the Bills in this game.
I love the pick, Bruce, because I just want to see Kansas City go down. And this offense, like, they don't score more than 17 points, but, you know, I know Kansas City in the end is going to be tough to beat, and they can always do whatever they need to win. Their defense is great, but I love the spot for Buffalo as well. And I hope the Bills win by double digits, and I'm picking the Bills here.
Josh?
As much as I want to see Kansas City go down, until they do, I'm going to continue to ride that horse.
He's riding that horse so far. He's 9-0 with that horse.
Yeah.
Colin?
It has to happen sometime, right? It happened to the Eagles last year. I like Buffalo to win this one and cover.
Charlie, this is obviously going to be a great game to watch. What do you see in this game?
Patrick Mahomes as an underdog, I just won't bet against him. Give me Kansas City.
Yeah, and they just find a way to win, you know, with that blocked kick against Bo Nix's. That was a very heartbreaking loss. I had
it
to pull
was,
over on
Bo Nix played
I think
so
almost
well.
You almost see the crying blankie there, Spence. Yeah. Well, he was very sad.
I was sad for about at least an hour because, I mean, they did everything to win that game, Denver, in terms of setting that field goal up, and it was incredibly disappointing to have a block. I mean, the field goal might have went in from 35, and you see, like, kickers kick 52-yarders now like it's nothing, so...
It just seems like the Chiefs always find a way to win. Like, I respect them. I said I'm fatigued. I totally respect them.
But that was the one game they weren't in control of.
They were right in the game. And in a 35-yard field goal, you should have a high trajectory on that kick. There's no excuse for that, honestly.
Well, the Chiefs this year have honestly controlled a lot of the games. They were better than the Bucs. They were better than the Atlanta Falcons. Their schedule hasn't been overly tough. Denver really, like, was the one team that really got to them a little bit.
All right, so here we go. Speaking of Denver, Atlanta 6-4. Kirk Cousins, Bijan Robinson's coming into his own. Kyle Pitts has stepped up lately. They travel to Denver to take on Bo Nix, Cortland Sutton, and a number of other key players for Denver. Atlanta 6-4, and Denver's 5-5. Denver -2.5 at home, Doctor.
Okay. I have to admit, I don't think Atlanta's that good, especially traveling to Denver, playing in the altitude. Bo Nix, I mean, they on one hand they're going to be really dejected but they played a really good game, and I think Bo Nix is rolling downhill, and so I'm going to take the Broncos in this game.
Yeah, I hope that this is a Broncos double-digit win
against
a Falcons team.
But what are you picking? Who are you picking?
I'm picking the Broncos, too. Bruce, I think they can win, knock on wood, their next four games. I think that this could be a 10-win team and a playoff team. And I think that they're going to get really red-hot, the Denver Broncos. So I'm rolling on the train as well.
You're rolling on the train. Yeah. Josh.
Broncos. I was out in Denver a year ago. I absolutely love the atmosphere. I think Sean Payton's a great coach. I'm going to take Denver in this one.
Colin.
I think I'm ready to admit Atlanta's a decent team. I'm going to take them out right here.
Charlie?
I agree with Colin. I've been looking at riding Denver lately. I just think this time it's kind of time to flip the switch. The public's already bet this from a Falcons favorite to a Denver favorite. I think, hold on, man. The Falcons offense statistically is a lot better than people think.
All right.
So what game is this, Josh?
This is game number four, Doctor.
Game number four. Okay, we're doing great on time.
So we have Seattle traveling up to San Francisco. San Francisco just got their number one threat, Christian McCaffrey, back last week. He had close to 90 yards in overall rushing and passing, receiving. Brock Purdy's been solid. George Kittle's been solid. I tell you what, though, Seattle with Kenneth Walker, DK Metcalf, not a bad year.
So how many points is Seattle getting in that game?
6.5.
Oh, I wish it was even higher.
Okay, so this is a time where I believe the 49ers will win, but Seattle has kept the games close, and I think this is a division rivalry. As much, you know, you feel like San Fran is a much better team, but I'm taking Seattle. Sometimes I go with my gut feeling. I've done pretty well with that. My gut tells me Seattle in this game.
Bruce, I think that your gut is speaking total truths. And the not to cuddle up to you, but I've been taking a lot of your picks as well. I'll tell you why I like your pick. Because I have faith in Seattle's coaches. Like, I like Mike McDonald. I think he's a very bright young head coach. They're still dealing with the Washington offensive coordinator from the Washington Huskies, Ryan Grubb. They had a bye last week. They cut some players. I just think their plan's going to be really good. So I like Seattle. That number is great. Are they going to win the game? I think it's going to be very close. I'll even have some fun and take Seattle to win the game, but I think that Seattle will cover that number. It's not an easy pick, but I think I like the bye week component. I like Seattle.
I think they're well rested. I agree with you, Spencer. But however, Brock Purdy has been playing really well all year, and I with the addition of Christian McCaffrey back, they're at home. I think San Francisco needs to send a message this week.
Colin,
I think San Francisco will cover here. When they're on, they're really on. Very inconsistent, but I like them to cover.
Charlie.
Seattle beat up on some bad teams to start the year. They're bottom of the half. They're actually bottom half of the NFL in yards per play allowed. They get rid of their leading tackler this week. Make that make sense. Are they even focused on winning, I guess? Yeah, I think San Fran blows them out. Double digits.
Game five.
Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, maybe the best quarterback-receiver combo. They put up three touchdowns last week. They travel to a team that, my opinion, head and shoulders, better than I thought they were going to be. The L.A. Chargers, they're 6-3. The Chargers, -1.5 at home, Doctor.
I think this is a very tough game to pick. I think Herbert's really good, and the coach, I feel that stadium is a unique stadium in many ways. I'm not sure it's going to be the easiest place to play, even with San Diego / Los Angeles fans. I'm feeling the Chargers in that game.
I got to admit, like, I just think that the slate is just so good this week. Like,
it is.
NFL.
These are great games.
And it's not like I'm wearing my NFL shirt, but this matchup is oil and water. Because you have the Chargers that play ground and pound, defensive style, low scoring, and then the Bengals are nothing but scoring. Joe Burrow's desperate. If they lose this game, they're out of the playoffs. I think the Chargers are so much fun because I don't think anyone talks about the Chargers, Bruce. I don't think anybody has watched the Chargers.
I don't think anybody
has. I don't
think
people know that they exist. I really don't. I think that they're the quietest team in the league, and I think that they're going to win this game on defense. I think their defense is super legit.
Josh.
It's interesting you say that, Spencer. A lot of people said the same thing. Jim Harbaugh's kind of like just kept it low,
yep,
keel, and they're not outscoring anybody. They're just finding ways to win. However, I think Cincinnati, when they're on, and I'll take the Bengals.
Colin.
I'm going to go with the Chargers cover here.
Charlie.
Chargers were like 3-3 before. Like, they play some cupcakes. I think New Orleans, Cleveland, Tennessee the last 3 weeks. Now they're being overvalued. Now's the time to go back in on Cincinnati. Take the Bengals outright.
Game six, the game of the week.
Game of the week.
Skins, birds.
Birds.
And it already went up a half a point since yesterday. The Eagles are favored by 3.5, Doctor.
All right. I think that this is my sports doc lock of the week. I will be in attendance for this game. I think the crowd will be well lubricated at 8:15 on Thursday night. And this is a game we're really up for. I don't remember a Washington game that had so much suspense and excitement. And I think while this young quarterback is very exciting, I think that Vic Fangio is going to have some surprises up their sleeve. And I believe that you will see Saquon running for 150 yards. And that's not enough points. So I am taking the Philadelphia Eagles to go to 8-2.
Bruce, I like where you're thinking. I think that we...
Unfortunately, we don't have any separation in our picks.
I don't think we have separation. The good news is the panel tonight has been very diverse in its picking. But again, I want to win this contest. I'm a couple games below 500, even going 5-1. And I love the Eagles at home. I really do. And I think that their defense, I think they could play a complete game. I think they're excited. They got that fourth quarter off. So I like Philly. And I like them by, I'm going to say, 7-10 points, Philly.
Josh?
Doc, just to confirm, you went with the Eagles, correct?
I took the Eagles,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, I agree with you. I think the they're already talking about New Orleans and Super Bowl tickets in Philadelphia, so I'm going to take the Eagles.
Colin?
I think the Eagles are on a roll. I think they keep it going.
Charlie?
I hate to do this because 84 cents on every dollar is being bet on Philly right now. That line was a public move, but Washington's allowing almost 5 yards per attempt against the rush, and with Barkley, that is bad news for Washington. I got to lean Philly here, man. I just think, you know, again, ignoring the public, and that's why that line moved, trust me, because they're getting pounded with public money. I still think that this Saquon Barkley against that bad Washington run defense will be the difference.
Yeah, so it seems like it's interesting that here in Philadelphia, everything seems to be good. The food tastes better. The weather's beautiful. And all of us are picking the Eagles to win. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Rover Sports. And I want to thank our two great producers, our videographer, Matt Vito, and, of course, Colin, who's flawless sound behind the glass, in absentia, Dr. Steve Lewis, who's the only one of the two doctors actually saving lives. And I'm talking about lives and things, but we're not saving anything tonight. And again, you could watch us back on WWDBAM.com. And of course, our new YouTube, our hybrid station, which is called Slaughterhouse Sports, is a very manly, very masculine name, very masculine, which I have taken over, a hostile takeover of the station. We have 3,200 followers, which is pretty good when you think about the fact of how many people are in the United States. So that's a small fraction, but a very important fraction. So as always, speaking for everybody here, I say good night and good sports.
The Sports Doctor is on the air. Dr. Bruce Grossinger with Rover Sports Tuesday evenings at 7:30 on WWDB. Dr. Bruce and the Rover crew blend sports and pop culture to keep you entertained and thinking. Brought to you by the Philadelphia Regenerative Medicine and Stem Cell Institute, where Dr. Grossinger and his team help athletes and chronic pain sufferers heal faster and stronger, often without the need for drugs or surgery. Visit online at phillysportsdoc.com and tune in to WWDB Tuesday nights at 7:30 for Rover Sports.
The future depends on teachers. Every day, teachers are shaping our tomorrows, starting their students on journeys that will change the course of history. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who will make preventing pandemics their life's work, sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who will help combat climate change, and generating possibilities for a student who'll be the first in their family to graduate college. It all starts with teachers who meet challenges with creativity, who reinvent education for the future, who work towards a school system that lifts up every child, regardless of race, income, or zip code, and who enable the full potential of our students, our communities, and our country. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Shape the future. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
We are there in your community. Small business owners, mechanics, police officers, homemakers. And we are there serving our nation in the Air Force Reserve. When medical emergencies arise, we meet the challenge. In cybersecurity, protecting and defending in cyberspace. When natural disasters happen, we are there in space. As a strong part of the nation's defense, we are there in the community, and we are there for our nation. We share a vision to make a difference, united and focused, taking pride in being there in service of our country. We are Reserve Citizen Airmen, and we are there with over 180 different jobs to serve your country. Air Force Reserve. Go to AFReserve.com for more information.
Joe Buck and John Smoltz welcoming you back to the City Center Convenience Mart. Well, John, the stage is set for the final transaction.
That's right, Joe. Heather's moment has arrived, and you just hope all that training pays off.
Heather lays down her purchase, but Randy rings it up as slowly as he can.
He is a wily veteran.
It gives Heather's eyes the chance to wander.
Uh-oh.
Yep, she's looking at the cigarettes.
There's nothing good back there. Quit now, and in 5 years, your odds of getting certain cancers drop 50%.
Meanwhile, Randy's stone-faced. He's giving nothing away. He just stands there, wetting his cashier's finger on that sponge.
Heather toes the rubber.
Here we go. Heather's arm is in motion. But instead of pointing at the back wall, she just grabs the gum off the counter.
That's a slick move.
Heather, back, back, back. She is out of there. Even Randy tips his cap to Heather. Stand Up to Cancer and Rally wants you to reduce your risk for cancer.
Go to takeahealthystand.org.
It's pouring rain. It's real dark outside. Your heart starts beating really, really fast. You've never done anything so hard in your life. This is boot camp. This is the real thing now. It's such extreme pain, you don't understand how you can finish. I began to feel that there was no way I was ever going to have my title, U.S. Marine. It takes special inner strength, courage, and desire to do this. I was just thinking, I'm so close. I'm so close. And when I finished, I was like, I'm done. I did it. The moment I will never forget is when this drill instructor that I admire so much comes up to me straight in front of me, put her arm on my shoulder and said, good morning, Marine.
PFC Summer Volkman became a Marine. Can you? Visit Marines.com or call 1-800-MARINES. The few, the proud, the Marines.
In 2007, Marine First Lieutenant Travis Manning was killed in Iraq after saving his wounded teammates. Travis's legacy lives on through the five words he spoke before leaving for his final deployment. If not me, then who? Words that today fuel the spirit of Travis Manion Foundation. Words that live in veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians who go out of their way to find a way, who help others with the help of others, who bounce back after each setback, who make good on good intentions. Through Travis Manion Foundation, if not me, then who, are words that can live in you too. Show the world what your character is made of, because character is invisible until it's not. Find out how you can strengthen the character of your community alongside empowered veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians at TravisManion.org. That's TravisManion.org.
The future depends on teachers. Every day, teachers are shaping our tomorrows, starting their students on journeys that will change the course of history. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who will make preventing pandemics their life's work, sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who will help combat climate change, and generating possibilities for a student who will be the first in their family to graduate college. It all starts with teachers who meet challenges with creativity, who reinvent education for the future, who work towards a school system that lifts up every child, regardless of race, income, or zip code, and who enable the full potential of our students, our communities, and our country. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Shape the future. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
We are there in your community. Small business owners, mechanics, police officers, homemakers. And we are there serving our nation in the Air Force Reserve. When medical emergencies arise, we meet the challenge. In cybersecurity, protecting and defending in cyberspace. When natural disasters happen, we are there in space. As a strong part of the nation's defense, we are there in the community and we are there for our nation. We share a vision to make a difference, united and focused, taking pride in being there in service of our country. We are Reserve Citizen Airmen and we are there with over 180 different jobs to serve your country. Air Force Reserve. Go to AFReserve.com for more information.
Joe Buck and John Smoltz welcoming you back to the City Center Convenience Mart. Well, John, the stage is set for the final transaction.
That's right, Joe. Heather's moment has arrived, and you just hope all that training pays off.
Heather lays down her purchase, but Randy rings it up as slowly as he can.
He is a wily veteran.
It gives Heather's eyes the chance to wander.
Uh-oh.
Yep, she's looking at the cigarettes.
There's nothing good back there. Quit now, and in 5 years, your odds of getting certain cancers drop 50%.
Meanwhile, Randy's stone-faced. He's giving nothing away. He just stands there, wetting his cashier's finger on that sponge.
Heather toes the rubber.
Here we go. Heather's arm is in motion. But instead of pointing at the back wall, she just grabs the gum off the counter.
That's a slick move.
Heather, back, back, back. She is out of there. Even Randy tips his cap to Heather. Stand Up to Cancer and Rally wants you to reduce your risk for cancer.
Go to takeahealthystand.org.
It's pouring rain. It's real dark outside. Your heart starts beating really, really fast. You've never done anything so hard in your life. This is boot camp. This is the real thing now. It's such extreme pain, you don't understand how you can finish. I began to feel that there was no way I was ever going to have my title, U.S. Marine. It takes special inner strength, courage, and desire to do this. I was just thinking, I'm so close. I'm so close. And when I finished, I was like, I'm done. I did it.